Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. The collapse of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge early Tuesday will have energy impacts far beyond the city. Because the bridge collapsed, authorities halted vessel traffic indefinitely to the Port of Baltimore. That port is one of the busiest in the country. It's one of the nation's largest handlers of car imports and exports, and it's a major exporter of coal. So today, I chat with Politico's Alex Guillen and James Bicalis about what the Baltimore bridge collapse means for the energy sector at large. It's Wednesday, March 27th.
Baltimore is obviously a major port for a number of different cargoes, but one of them that a lot of people may not be familiar with is coal. Baltimore is the number two coal export terminal in the nation, second only to Norfolk, Virginia. And in 2022, it was responsible for almost a quarter of all U.S. coal exports. At the moment, there are two coal terminals in Baltimore, one operated by CONSOL Energy and one by CSX. They are both currently cut off from the waterways because of the bridge collapse. So like other vessels, nothing can get through in or out. I talked to a company that tracks cargo vessels. They said there are two vessels that have been loading coal at those terminals that are currently trapped in Baltimore by the bridge collapse. And there were another 14 vessels on the way to pick up coal. It's not clear how far away all of those are necessarily, or if any of them are going to be diverted. But one of the major questions at the moment is how long is it going to take to reopen that waterway, because they have to remove all of the debris from the bridge. I have yet to hear any real estimates from authorities, but it is clearly a project that will take weeks and potentially months. So firming up to be a pretty big disruption, both to coal exports and to the broader economy of the Port of Baltimore.
Wow. And yeah, it does seem like, as you note in your reporting, this is actually a pretty inopportune time for the coal industry, which of course is suffering domestically and relying more on exports. So can you talk about that more? I mean, how does this impact the coal sector at large?
Yeah, this is sort of a bad time for the coal industry to do this. As you know, of course, coal use in the electric utility sector has been dropping off pretty steeply, down to, I think it was 16% last year of electricity came from coal. And so a lot of coal companies are looking to international sales and to coal exports for their revenue. Exports sort of dipped during the pandemic quite a bit, but they have been coming back. And this includes Baltimore. Exports out of Baltimore jumped something like 40% between 2022 and 2023. So quite a lot of coal was flowing through Baltimore and other ports. This is obviously going to be disruptive to that. For how long, of course, remains to be seen. But, you know, the coal industry had been looking toward exports as a bit of a financial savior, and that is now going to take a pretty significant hit.
And where does that coal generally go? What kind of markets?
Coal exported out of Baltimore. So in 2022, the top destination was India. About a third, more than a third of the coal coming out of Baltimore in that year went to India. Other major amounts went to the Netherlands, Japan, Brazil, and China. So this coal is going to coal-hungry nations in Asia and South America and Europe.
Got it. And James, I wanted to bring you in here as well. We know there's another economic sector that's actually at play here. Baltimore's port is the largest port when it comes to autos, altogether with imports and exports. So what does it mean, this bridge collapse, for the auto sector and potentially EVs in particular?
Yes. So the shutdown of the port in Baltimore is expected to have a pretty significant impact on the auto sector. Baltimore, for 13 years running, has been the top automotive port in the country. And we've already heard from John Bazella, who's the head of the Alliance for Automotive Innovation, which is the top auto trade group, saying there certainly will be a disruption to the auto industry, although it's too early to determine the precise impacts quite yet. It's rather difficult for auto companies to quickly shift their supply chains to, particularly on auto imports, because there's a lot of trucking and on the ground logistics that they have to deal with as well. And in terms of the EV sector specifically, I spoke to one expert who said it's likely that the EV industry may not have quite as much of an impact as other parts of the auto sector because EVs have a strong level of inventory at car dealerships at the moment, in part due to slowing sales growth. So the EV sector may not be quite as affected as other parts of the auto sector.
Also, on Tuesday, the Interior Department approved the Sunrise Wind Project, the seventh approval of a commercial-scale offshore wind project under President Joe Biden. The approval comes as developers of offshore wind projects along the East Coast are contending with rising costs that prompted several cancellations and challenged the Biden administration's offshore wind goals. The decision is also a significant development for a project that previously faced viability concerns. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch and subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.